We're back together again here at the beginning of a new term. How many people are starting something new right now in life? Just something new. New school, yeah. New marriage. I see a couple of people out there that are newly married. New jobs, a few of us, yeah. So there's a lot of new stuff going on. I don't know how many of you guys have thought about this debate, but you know, there are those of us out there that think that the new year, January, is the start of the new year, and those of us who operate around September being the beginning of the new year. Now, you don't have to be an academic for it to feel like that, but yeah, I see some heads shaking. Like, which side are you on of that great debate? Is it the new year when it's September, or is it the new year when it's January? I don't know if it's the change of season. I've already been called out for being, you know, up here in a jumper, because I think it's cold. I think it's cold. But I don't know, for a lot of us, we get excited in September, right? We get a new notebook, maybe some new resolves. Maybe those resolves we put back in January, we think, oh, it's about time to get around to those resolves for the remainder of the year. Well, we're kind of at that moment here in our teaching series as well. We're going to start something new next week, and we're sort of at an in-between time here between the Word Alive series that we've been looking at over the summer and what happens next week. We're going to get into a 3-week short series just on God's wisdom in transitions and seasons of change. But for this week, I thought it'd be really good just as a almost kind of a one-off and as a conclusion to the Word Alive series to talk about what is really important to us around here, like what we're all about as the Good Shepherd Mission. If you've been around with us over the last little bit of time, you will have heard us talking a lot about these kind of rhythms of what it means for us to be people of prayer and what it means for us to be people who are seeking discipleship, so growing one another in faith, and people who are on mission together as a community. So prayer and discipleship and being on mission. And that's really what it's all about. So our vision statement, if you haven't seen it, is that we want to be people who love Jesus, love our neighbors, and see lives transformed. That's really what it's about. So this morning, I'm just going to focus, just to kind of remind us of our call to grow one another, to disciple one another. And to do that, I'm going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's in your Bibles there if you want to grab them behind you there in the back of your seats. It's on page 1130, so 1130, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just the first part of that chapter. I'm going to read it for us, and then I'll pray. So Paul writes to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained." Father, we come before you now. We come under the authority of your word as it speaks to our lives. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts and minds and change us from the inside out? God, we thank you that your word is not chained, and so would you unleash the force, the power of your word, which is alive and active in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me set the scene for us here. We're looking at a letter that Paul writes from prison. He writes from prison. It's really his kind of last time in prison. He knows he's got a death sentence, and he writes to Timothy. He says, "You, my son," and that's because they're close. This is Timothy, is his travel buddy, his ministry partner, you know, his younger protege. He's writing to Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, my travel buddy, my son." And here's the other situation. Paul's in prison, and he's left Timothy in Ephesus. Right, so we just finished reading through the letter of Ephesians earlier this year. Paul's facing a death sentence, and he's really facing that sentence for preaching the gospel. And he writes to Timothy a really, really personal letter. I love the fact that later on he said, hey, Timothy, by the way, can you pick up my coat? It's getting cold here. Can you just bring my jacket before winter? That'd be really good. And also those papers, you know, those papers I left in the filing cabinet under the file folder, you know, can you bring those too? I need those when you come. But here's what he writes to Timothy. He says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1. And where is grace found? As you look at this, where is grace truly found? It's in Christ Jesus. And what does that really mean for us, to be strong in grace? That's not something that we can earn or achieve or work towards. And yet you hear through the rest of the text, you hear what it means to work on growing ourselves and others in grace. I'll tell you what, for me, it's so easy for me to kind of fall into this pattern of working from a place of my strength or my capabilities. And I've had the kind of summer that has just kind of beat that out of me. I don't know what your summer has been like. Do you ever feel like you need a holiday from your holidays? We moved house. We had this family illness that we kind of passed around week after week. So it was just tiring. It was exhausting. And I had this point, you know, just kind of with work stress and personal stuff at home, feeling like, man, I am exhausted and tired. I cannot do this stuff in my own strength and capability. I have to be strong in grace. And that comes from Christ. That's not from my efforts or my abilities. What does it mean for us as a people to be strong in grace, to grow in grace together? Well, one way that we kind of work at that, one way that we grow in our grace is to pass on what we've received. That's what Paul writes to Timothy. Look at verse 2. He says, all the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust that to reliable people. That word entrust there means to pass it on, and pass it on to faithful people, people who will be faithful with it. And don't miss the multiplying effect of what Paul writes to Timothy here. It isn't just, hey, Timothy, pass this on to someone. Pass it on to someone who will then pass it on to many others. There's a ripple effect that happens as we communicate the truth of the gospel. That's what it means to make disciples who are making disciples. And that's what we really should be about. This isn't just Paul's letter to Timothy. It's Paul's letter to Timothy that he's meant to pass on to others. And we're passing it on to one another here still today. Good Shepherd Mission, we need to be a people who are passing on what we've heard and received so that others can be equipped and train others and grow in faith. In fact, look at what Paul writes later on to Timothy, just a little bit further along. If you look at the bottom of chapter 3, bottom of the page across from you, just chapter 3, verse, where am I here? Verse 10. Paul writes a little bit more to Timothy. I want to point this out because it's just so good. He says, you, however, know, this is chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. He says to Timothy, you know, hey, you know what this life has been like with me. You've traveled with me and you've witnessed it. And we've talked about it. We've debriefed all this stuff. You know these things. And yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Pay attention to that because we're going to come back to it later. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. There it is. That's discipleship right there. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. Because you know, here's the reason why, you know those from whom you've learned it. You see how God uses his people to carry on that ripple effect of making disciples and discipling one another? You know the people that you've learned it from, and from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. So you've seen us in action, you know the Scriptures, continue on in it, Paul writes. And they're able, these Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he adds in, and I think it's worth just continuing here because we've been looking all summer at what does the Scripture have to say? If it's alive and active, what does it have to say about itself? And here Paul writes, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training and righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the purpose. Why is it useful for all of these things? To equip us for every good work. Good Shepherd Mission, it's for us to be equipped for the mission that we're called to here in this community and on your streets and in your workplace. That's what we're doing here week after week. It's happening right now upstairs. You know, it's happening with Crash and in the splash groups and with Toffs. It happens through the week in our home groups and with clubs on Tuesday night and on Thursday night. It happens at Pizza and Pool on Friday night. It's discipleship. It's growing together in faith and encouraging one another to grow and to pass on what we've learned. And this is not just a word today for home group leaders and for teachers. It's about that, but it's about so much more. It's about who all of us are intentionally pursuing. So let me ask you, if you are a follower of Jesus today, who are you intentionally and with focus pouring your life into and passing on what you have learned and received? Who is your Paul to Timothy in your life? Could be one or two people. Who are you praying with and encouraging and challenging through your week? Who are you learning something in, when you're learning something in your walk with Christ? Who are you passing that on to others as you kind of share what you're learning and you see them kind of learn and grow from it as well? That's what Paul's doing here when he does this with Timothy. And of course, what is it that he passes on? Like in its essence, what is it that Paul passes on to Timothy? He says, it's the gospel. Look at verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. That's why I'm suffering. I'm in these chains now because this is the important thing, Paul writes. That's what we pass on to one another. In all of our activities and everything that we do in our conversations, we pass on the truth of the grace of Jesus Christ. That's how we grow strong in grace. So Paul says to Timothy in chapter 2, be strong in grace. Share what you've received. And then this part, which, you know, we'd love to leave out, but it's true. It's written right here in front of us. Verse 3, expect hardship. Join with me in suffering. That's what Paul writes. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, look, if you're going to join me in passing on the message of the gospel, you need to be ready to join me in suffering as well. There's not really a way to escape it. If you do this work, you're going to endure hardship. And folks, that doesn't just mean being locked up in prison. It might mean that. But it means all the stuff that you know that we encounter when we press into this stuff. The conflict, the challenge, the setbacks, what feels like opposition, getting rejected by people that we care about. And it's the discouragements too. Join with me in suffering, Paul writes. Some of us know this. We know the heartache. As we see people that we love and care about choose to willingly walk away from faith, and the way that just breaks our heart, and we see them kind of taking that step to step back from Christ, and in the midst of that heartache, Paul says, join with me in suffering. That's what it means to be in this discipling adventure together. We can't escape it. But in the midst of that suffering, Paul asks us to stay focused and to remember what's important. To not let the hard stuff bring us down. In fact, look at the way he describes it. He says, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, for no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. So a soldier is focused. That's the image here. He gives up everything to fight the battle that's right in front of them and doesn't get distracted by the everyday stuff of life. Stay focused. Stay focused on the goal. So for me personally, I know it's such a temptation when I get together with some of my guys for prayer. I don't know what it's like for you guys, but I could do that with my guys and just kind of get into just everyday stuff. You know, start talking about work, have a chat about family or parenting or the kids or life, and even get distracted by the hardships, you know, just kind of lamenting all the hard things we're going through and miss the opportunity to learn and grow together. How's God speaking into the situation? How can I trust him more? What is he doing right now to change and to grow me? Paul says, don't miss the opportunity to lean in and to seek ways to encourage and challenge and teach and train and grow one another in faith. And then the next thing he says, and he uses kind of three pictures to illustrate this. So the point that I'm putting to it is keep going to the end. Keep going to the end, Paul says. So a good soldier knows their purpose. They know what they do. They follow orders. You know, when you're a soldier as well, you're a part of something that's much bigger than yourself, which is such an encouragement that we're not alone in this. We do this together as a family, as the Good Shepherd mission. And so I think just looking at these next few images, I want you to remember back, if you've been with us over the last number of weeks, you've heard these teaching series. We looked at Hebrews, and Hebrews just reminded us to keep going, to press on, to stay disciplined, and to keep going, even to the end of the race. And the letter of Ephesians just reminded us, what did it say? It said that Christianity, that following Christ, is not a solo sport. We're in this together. Keep going and go together. So he said it's like being a good soldier, and a soldier knows their purpose and fights with others. And then it's also kind of like being an athlete. Did you see that? Verse 5. In the same way, anyone who competes as an athlete doesn't receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. An athlete knows what they need to do to win that competition. They're disciplined towards a goal. I've got a friend, maybe you've got one like this, who runs marathons, and that person always knows what they need to do, the exact time that they need to achieve the qualification to run in the next race they want to do. These athletes, they're disciplined, they're focused, and they make it to the end because they know what they need to be doing. So Paul says to Timothy, be like that. If you're going to be disciplined and disciple others, go all the way to the end of the race. That's how you win victory. Verse 6, he says, it's like a hardworking farmer. I notice, by the way, the adjectives next to each of these, like a good soldier, like a competing athlete, like a hardworking farmer. Like a hardworking farmer, you learn to work with the seasons. And that's kind of what it means to be in discipling relationships with one another. We adjust to the floods and the droughts that come with cultivating people over a long period of time. It's like a hardworking farmer that learns to wait for things to grow. And sometimes it's like that, isn't it? When you're partnering with someone and you're seeking their growth and you're pursuing growth, you learn to wait on God for things to grow because it's his work. So he says, if you're a hardworking farmer, you gather in the crop at the end, but you're not at the end yet as you wait for the seasons to change. So I look at all of this, and I'm just massively encouraged by this passage, but also challenged by it at the same time, because I look at my own relationships, and I say, am I purposeful? Am I focused in the people that I'm discipling, in the people in my life right now? Like a good soldier, do I know what needs to be done? Very specifically, do I know who God's calling me to focus on, the people that I'm receiving from and the people that I'm passing God's goodness on to? Do I know who to focus on in this season? And like an athlete, just for me, just reflecting on this, do I know what I need to do to win the race? Do I know where the finish line is? And sometimes, I don't know what this is like for you, but sometimes for me, that's the difference between just meeting up for just a good coffee and a nice chat and taking the intentional, focused, disciplined opportunity to pass on what I'm learning, to find out what they're learning and to encourage faith, to build up, to rebuke, to challenge, to speak truth. That's the difference between just kind of meeting up casually and discipling the way Paul writes about it to Timothy here. And I think you guys know the difference of that too. Have you noticed in your own life the difference between people who are intentionally looking for that opportunity to disciple? I ask myself, am I a hardworking farmer? You know, am I willing to put in the long hours of cultivating God's growth in someone's life, working the soil of their life, to see seasons come and go in their life and to stay with them through those seasons? That's what a hardworking farmer is like. So much of all of those three examples, if you listen to those word pictures, are about enduring to the end. Have you seen that? Pressing on to the end with intentionality and focus. And it reminds me of Jesus. Really, the whole center of all of this that Paul talks about, he says, this is my gospel. It's Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, who endures to the end. He was raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. And Paul says, Jesus was human. You know, we can trace his family tree. He's descended from David. but not just human. He was raised to life. He endured the cross. He was raised beyond the grave into enduring life so that we could have life in him. That's the truth of this gospel, that we should just be passing on to others in every opportunity that we get. Jesus endured the cross. He made it beyond the grave to be raised to life. Even more than a soldier who gives all that they have in battle, Jesus gained victory over the forces of death and evil on our behalf. Even more than an athlete who makes it to the end of the race, Jesus wears the victor's crown. He's victorious over all of sin and death and the effects of sin in our lives. Even more than a farmer who gathers the harvest at the end of weeks of hard work, Jesus brings in a crop of harvest in our lives and in one another's lives. This is the Jesus that Paul writes about. So my friends, if you are here today and you haven't put your trust and faith in him, I encourage you, choose to follow him, choose to learn from Jesus, make him your savior by declaring your faith and willingness to follow him and to join up with others. That's what we're here for, join up with others who are seeking to do the same. Paul endures to the end as well. We're reading the letter of a man who is writing from prison, having finished well, and he's passing on to his younger protege, Timothy, and he tells Timothy to pass it on. He says, look, I'm in chains. Look at verse 9. I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But he says, God's word is not chained. And that's really the message of everything that we've been looking at. As we've looked at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that God's word is alive and active. God's word is alive and it is not chained. That means it's active. If you listen to these talks, you've heard examples all through Scripture, all through the summer. And I encourage you, if you haven't listened to these, go back and just listen to them. They're short talks from the summer. You can do it while you're walking the dog, if it's a short walk, or you could do it while you're washing the dishes, if you have a lot of dishes. But we've listened over the summer to how God speaks with a gentle voice. And we've listened to the fact that we can trust God for his plans and purposes. And we've learned that our Redeemer lives in spite of how we feel in our circumstances day to day. God's word is active and alive. And I know that some of us, and I just kind of speak this to us together as a people, some of us can be weary or tired, or maybe even a little bit discouraged, kind of a new year, kind of done this before, years and years of trying. Maybe you've been a part of things from the very beginning here at the mission. And you've invested, like Paul does to Timothy, you've invested years of toil and effort in people's lives and even seen some of them fall away. And you're carrying a little bit of just that sense of discouragement or sadness just to see that happen. Some of you are seeing older children that are choosing against this life, and it just hurts. It hurts at a heart level. And so let me just speak to you. Let me speak to us. This is really Paul's word to us. Your labor is not in vain. Because Paul's word, or God's word, is not chained. It's not chained to our expectations of a timeline and how things are supposed to go. It's not chained to our disappointments. God's word is living and active and will carry on doing the work of transformation that we seek. So we're going to look together really in the remainder of this morning, we're going to look at the ways that we have, just the opportunities that we have to intentionally focus in people's lives here at Good Shepherd Mission. We look at home groups and prayer groups and Bob groups and splash and toss and clubs, all the different ways that we have to be intentional, like Paul talks about to Timothy. But let me ask you this, just personally, who is your Paul? The person that's kind of pouring into your life. And who is your Timothy? Who are you pouring into? Are you deliberately, intentionally discipling in a focused way? I'm grateful for a man named Doug Halili, it's a Hawaiian name in case you're curious, who got together a group of year six boys, 10 years old, I think I was, and he just did a Bible study. And man, you know what he did? It was so clever. he brought donuts. And donuts are like a 10-year-old boy's love language. But this guy, week after week, brought donuts and the Bible and poured into just me and a few of my other friends about that age. I was a young kid, but he just unpacked scripture for us and gave us a love and a hunger for the word. 10 years old. Doug Halili, a guy who's still, I mean, I'm not even in touch with him anymore, but he poured into my life. And I think these are the ways that each one of us, whether it's in club or at growth, or in your discipleship groups, your home groups, these are the ways that we speak truth into one another's lives and see one another grow. So thankful for Doug. And I know it's not easy. I know that the challenge of what Paul brings is that this is not always easy. You can sign up for suffering. Join me, he says. If you do this, join me in suffering. But you know what? It is rewarding. Don't miss the rewards that are in this package as well. As you look at what the scripture says here, it says that the rewards of discipline are that a soldier pleases his commanding officer. That's rewarding. An athlete gets the victorious crown at the end. That is delightful. And a farmer gets the first share of the crops. The farmer gets to see fruitfulness. There's rewards here as well. So I guess to each of us and together, for us as a whole, I want to see what Paul says in verse 7. He says, reflect on what I'm saying. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. And this is how I love the fact that the scripture says what it says, and the Holy Spirit just sort of breathes life into it. And so even now, I'm hoping and I'm praying that the Spirit just brings a face or a name to mind that is really kind of your assignment for this next season. The person that you're going to pass on the good news of the gospel. In your casual relationships, in your intentional meetups, in your home groups, the group of boys that are 10 years old and hungry for donuts. Reflect on what I'm saying. Friends, I think we're on to something here at Good Shepherd Mission. I do. I think we're on to something here. So if you're feeling like, actually, I've kind of sat out the last few rounds, and it's partly because I'm just jaded and I've had enough, like, I want to encourage you to get going again, to jump back in and to keep going. Go with us. And to the disheartened, I want to say, don't give up. This is not the end of the race. So keep going. Endure. Endure the heartache and find others to fight with and to run with. Because we're in this together. And to the weary or the tired, I want to say, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. There's a strength there that's so far beyond our human strength. So be strong. And by all means, in all of this, just pass it on to others. Keep passing on what God's giving you. Pass it on to others and see it multiply. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you are alive, that you are at work, and you're at work in this place. You're carrying the gospel into new lives, and people are being transformed, and you're deepening your work in our lives. And that is just amazing to behold. And so I just pray together for us now this morning, God, that you would push us beyond those places of discouragement or the places where we're disheartened or maybe even have given up, and give us a new boldness and a new faith to learn from you and to teach others to learn from you. And God, as your people here, Lord, would you make us focused and disciplined? And God, bear us up. Help us to be strong in grace so that we can pass on what we've received. God, we pray for the future generations in this place that will worship like we've worshiped this morning. The generations of leaders, of missionaries, of pastors and teachers and small group leaders and men and women of faith. God, would you keep that going here for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen.